your birthday. The great state of Arizona's birthday is actually tomorrow, but we're celebrating it today with a broadcast this morning live from the Capitol Mall right in the shadows of the Arizona original state capitol building, which is now the Arizona Capitol Museum. We're here this morning with Mrs. Kim Crawford, the communications manager for that particular museum. The entire building.
Yes.
Is now a museum.
It is. The 1901 Capitol Edition is a museum.
And it is designed for whom?
It is designed for all ages. We have all kinds of programs for children. There's touch tables. There's a little booklet they can take around and answer questions on. There's stuff for adults. We've got the Silver Service from the USS Arizona. You can learn about the history of the Capitol from pre-territorial times through statehood. We have Madame Tussaud's wax figure of Governor Hunt. I mean, just be careful for him. He's a little spooky if you're not expecting him. But, you know, we just have a little bit of something for everybody.
And we're open today at 10 o'clock. There's free parking, free admission.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we'd like people to get down here. We actually have some demonstrations and some presentations today.
Yes. The State Archives will be displaying rare documents from the Charles Poston, who's considered the father of Arizona collection, as well as there's the Statehood Day presentation. We'll be reading a proclamation from Governor Doug Ducey, and we'll be presenting the Polly Rosenbaum Award to Supreme Court Chief Justice Scott Bales.
Charles Poston, we're going to get into this a little bit later, the father of Arizona.
Yeah.
He rode an interesting ride to get to that particular position.
Well, and actually, one of the documents is going to be the warrant for his arrest. Is actually going to be one of the documents that's going to be today. It's not the original. That particular document will be a copy. But these are just examples of some of the really interesting, cool historical things that we have at the State Archives and also that we display here at the Arizona Capitol Museum. The Secretary of State, Michelle Reagan, her office oversees both the museum and the State Archives. So we try and work together to bring forth these special presentations, especially for things such as Arizona's 104th birthday tomorrow.
That's right. It's going to be a lot of fun. Y'all come on down. Grab the kids. Put them in the car. Free parking, free admission. Museum opens at 10. We'll arrange for tour groups, right? How are y'all accommodating that? What did I read? That
groups of 10 or more, and usually those have to be pre-planned, but I think we'll have a few staff on site that may be able to accommodate that. But otherwise, we have a really wonderful self-guided tour around, and the exhibits are all really well documented, so you know exactly what you're looking at and the history behind what you're looking at. So no matter how you end up going through the museum, you'll come out knowing a little bit of something you didn't know before.
Awesome. Down here at the Capitol Mall, broadcasting live this morning, it's Rosie on the House in our perfect segue of history, celebrating the birthday of Arizona, as well. Our article in the home section of the Arizona Republic this morning talks about comparing the cost versus value of various remodeling projects today as opposed to when I started my own company back in 1987. So kitchen remodeling has changed just a little bit in all of those years, as well as the remodeling for this building. So we've brought in two experts that can both talk about the history of the building, the history of the people, the history of the events. You've met one of them before. In 28 years of doing my radio program, there was one particular month several years ago, I think it was during the centennial, if I'm not mistaken, we invited an old friend of mine. Don and I go back to about 1972. I met him actually right after I got my driver's license. I remember that because that's right when I got the job downtown working for the architect George Christensen. You were working for George Christensen. I was the office runner boy, and you were finishing architectural school at ASU.
Right you are, Rosie.
Oh, man, those were the good old days, weren't they?
These are the good old days.
Do you, man? I had a lot of fun back then with you and George and Bruce Kimball and, you know, the whole gang. So Don Ryden, an architect here in town, has an office in a historical home on McDowell in about 15th Avenue?
Ninth Avenue,
okay. And y'all have been there a while, and you're known throughout the state as one of the premier architectural historians in Arizona, and I think you carry that mantle well.
Well, thank you very much. We try to share the history through the landmarks with people and bring new life to the buildings for second centuries.
Well, we did an entire series over the course of a month talking about the evolution of housing in Arizona, dating back to the Hogan on the Salt River, to the Hacienda, to the Reardon Mansion, and you talked us through an entire evolution to today's house, and to this day, that's one of my favorite series of broadcasts we've ever done. So Don's here. He can certainly answer any questions y'all might have about architectural history in the state of Arizona. We've got a lot of great things we're going to visit with on that particular topic. And then Mrs. Kim Crawford has arranged for Dr. Jack August, author, philanthropist, and you've just begun a new position with the state as it relates to protecting these records and kind of overseeing the history of this building and its events.
Yes, it's very exciting, and I've been on for about 2 weeks now, and learning something new every day, and I'm enjoying it.
You're new to the post, but you're certainly not new to the information.
That's correct, yes.
All right, let's start. Father of Arizona.
Charles Post.
Now, Charles Post. It should be Keno.
Oh, we can go and talk about Father Keno. He introduced cattle, wheat, and so the color of tortillas changed a little bit, but he brought a lot of new crops, again, introduced cattle, brought the Jesuit dimension of Catholicism into the territory up through the Gila River. He explored up in this area, what's now Maricopa County. He was one of the great cartographers of the generation. He also realized and discovered and crafted a map in 1701 that accurately depicted that California was not an island but a peninsula. Up to that time, the Spaniards were really wrestling with the geography of the New World and trying to incorporate the various peoples and tribes and languages into their lexicon. And so he's a very important figure, and I think he's also one of in Statuary Hall in D.C.
Just night before last, I was watching Antique Roadshow, and they actually had a map of southwestern United States that showed California as an island. The map is wrong.
The map is wrong.
And it was worth $8,000.
That's great. Hope the guy was happy, or the woman, whoever it was. It's one of my favorite shows.
California is a political island, not a geographic island, right?
That's correct.
All right. We talked about Father Keno here just a little bit, but let's get back to Mr. Poston. Really an interesting character.
Very. He was probably the territory of Arizona's first promoter. He tried to convince Congress that we had mineral wealth. He also advocated for a separate territory from New Mexico in the Great Compromise of 1850, which attempted to avert civil war. New Mexico became a separate territory, which included Arizona. Well, the people that lived over on this side of the territory always complained that we had no law. Santa Fe, the capital, was too far away. Basically, 13 years of complaints until we are separated from the territory of New Mexico for a variety of reasons, including military reasons. But Poston was in the middle of that argument.
And he moves into Arizona, and he doesn't end up in Prescott. He doesn't end up in Flagstaff. He doesn't end up in Phoenix. He ends up in...
toward the Colorado River and then in southern Arizona, yeah.
I mean, it was Yuma, and then it was... Tumacacri. I always wrestle with that word, Tumacacri.
Yeah.
So you come into Tumacacri in the mid-1800s, and you're moving into a community that's already 300 years old.
That's right. The Spaniards the Europeans had been there and had established a mission and a military complex. Where the missions were, there was always a presidio, and then Tucson's origins are similar. They replaced where Tubac was, and Tucson's easy to remember when it's established, 1776.
Yeah, and then he goes into mining, and he sets up a couple mining claims down there.
Right.
I think he actually brings the first printing press to Arizona, right? The first newspaper is published in Tubac, right?
Yes, yeah, so 1859, yeah. And it was as colorful. Territorial journalism was as colorful and exaggerated, sometimes fictional, as you could ever get. So that's an interesting topic in and of itself.
Well, when you're the only newspaper in the state, then you have full editorial privileges, right?
That's right. He could say, rail against anybody.
Don, there's hardly another place in Arizona that's as interesting to me architecturally as down along that Santa Cruz River.
Oh, yeah. There's beautiful ancient things that are down there, starting with Hohokam pit houses and settlements and canals, all the way through the 21st century buildings going up now in downtown Tucson.
I just finished the book, The Dry River, by Ken Lamberton, and it's about the Santa Cruz River, which, of course, starts near Canela Pass, heads due south, goes into Mexico, horseshoe bends, come back up, and runs north up to the Gila. And it was as that Santa Cruz crosses I-17, where the North Tucson water treatment plant is, that was one of the largest discoveries of a Hohokam. Now, I don't know if that was the right civilization. I have a hard time separating the Hohokam, the Papago, and the Anasazi and all that. But one of the largest civilizations were discovered right there when they were trying to put that plant in.
Exactly. There's evidence of civilization there in Tucson that's at least 4,000 years old.
Incredible. They just discovered another one. I don't know, just discovered it, but at the Historical Preservation Society meeting last year in Flagstaff, they were talking about that they just discovered a whole new situation up at Luke Airfield trying to expand that runway.
Exactly. It's just phenomenal to think that there was an entire whole civilization and settlement pattern all over our state that's hidden beneath our feet.
One of the overlooked little historical gems of Maricopa County is Pueblo Grande Museum, right there at 44th Street in Washington. You walk in the reception center, and it's astounding. And I'm not going to be able to remember the number, but it's astounding in that little diagramma that they have there, how many people they project the Salt River Valley held from basically Buckeye to Gold Canyon in the 1400s and 1500s. It was hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes, and places like Pueblo Grande were really the centers of the civilization, where they would have a platform mound as the centerpiece of government and irrigation control and religion, all rolled into one, like our state capital. But it did all three of those. So it's like having Salt River Project, the state government, and the Diocese of Tucson all in one pile. Then they had recreation there with their ball courts as well.
Well, we'll be talking more, and we're here for the next hour and a half with Don Ryden, architectural architect from Arizona, as well as Dr. Jack Foster with the state and the historical museum. Yeah. Back when we get back. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a ring. We're going to have fun for the next hour and a half. 1-888-767-4348.